Okay. All righty. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 13. While you are turning there, let me just kind of brief us up on the review. We have been on a series of messages that I've entitled Closer, and we have seen five different circles of followers. We're working from the outside in, from the least committed to the most committed. And we have seen that circle number five, who comprised circle number five? Wasn't it the masses and other disciples? And then they flaked out and stopped following Jesus. And then the next circle, circle number four, was the 72, those hardworking men that Jesus sent out two by two. And then you have the 12 in circle number three, inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And then they got to see things that the other nine disciples didn't have a chance to, and much less the masses got a chance to see. So today we are going to reveal number one, and let's read our passage this morning, John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciple looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. I love that. I just love that designation. How would you love to be called the disciple, the follower whom Jesus loved? Isn't that beautiful? Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. And thank you for your word that governs our lives. Lord, is meant to give us an abundant life. Give us your very best in our lives when we walk in your ways, God. And Lord, we pray that you give us hearts that will follow closer than we've ever been following with you, Jesus. Give you thanks for all this in your precious name. Amen. All righty, let's show them the slide. I have a slide to show you. How many of you believe that I can make a sermon come out of that photo? Well, that is, what is that? Can somebody tell me? It's an art table, right? And the reason why I want to begin with that is because when I took art, I like to draw. I don't do it a lot. In fact, I don't really do it at all nowadays, but I have some really cool drawings that I did several years ago. But that's kind of a hobby that I don't have time for, so I just, don't do much with it. But I remember in high school, I was in art class, and the way the class was, the outlay of the classroom was, is that I'll illustrate it with our sanctuary. It's like this side had all the tables where all the students sat, and this side of the class, there was a partition between the two, and there was only one small passageway to go from this side of the class to this side of the class. And this side of the class had a wide opening, had a lot of cabinets with all the sculptures and all the stuff to work, for pottery and paints and watercolors and such, all the supplies for that. And then there was a big art desk over in the corner with a radio on the shelf there. And my art teacher, and I can't remember her name for the life of me, kind of had favorites, okay? And these favorites that she had was one guy and one gal. And she would allow them during their period of art, when their time to go to art class came, she would allow them to sit on the big old drawing desk while all of us had to share a cramped space on tables. And the person that was there on this side of the classroom, they had access to the radio and they could listen to any station they wanted to. That was a privilege the art teacher gave them. And the art teacher would allow them to bring drinks or food, whatever they wanted. And they were kind of the looked upon student as favorably from the teacher. I remember one time, because these two students were extremely gifted. They were very hardworking. And beyond that, I think the reason why the teacher allowed that was they had a very tight relationship with the teacher. They liked the teacher. They knew the teacher beyond the teacher just being an art teacher. They kind of knew her as a friend. And so, you know, day in and day out, I'd go to art class and didn't think anything of it. I just figured, you know, some other dude that was more gifted at drawing than I was sharing that desk with one other person, the gal that would come at, on a different class period. So anyway, long story short, one day I was just minding my own business, drawing, doing the assignment that the teacher had the class do. And all of a sudden, she had a falling out of sorts. You could hear some words exchanged on this side of the classroom between the dude that was sitting at the big art desk and the teacher. And the teacher didn't seem very happy. And so she kind of reached for her ace in the hole. And she told the guy to pack his stuff and to leave his classroom. And thus that big old art desk was vacated, and she asked me, God loves me. She asked me to sit at the desk. Well, I never excelled at anything in high school. I blew off my studies. So I never got anything. So it was like a big wow thing for me that she would pick me. But, you know, now in retrospect, I think she was trying to provoke the guy to jealousy more than anything else. Basically telling him, I put you on that desk and I can take you off that desk. So, you know, I sat in that desk and I brought all my drawing things. And she said, you know, you can listen to any radio station you want. And by the way, would you like a soft drink? I'll go get it for you. Or I'll have one of the students on the other side of class get it for you. I was like, sure, why not? So I felt very privileged. But... to me, it was something more. I didn't get the picture at the time. I thought I was the favored one, though I didn't know the teacher the way the guy that was asked to step down knew her. Now, let's leave the story there, and we'll pick up after a bit, okay? We'll come back to that story because I think there's more. Well, there's definitely more to it, and some things that I want to make parallel to the scripture we read. Now, so we come down to the one. I love the Facebook post that you all had about Closer, and I love the comments on it. Great guesses, and only one got it right. And the person who was closer to Jesus was John, not Peter, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, does that mean that John was Jesus' favorite? No. You know, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, right? God does not respect you more than he respects somebody else. But let me be clear about this. John had the biggest heart for Jesus. Where was he, according to this passage of Scripture, with proximity to physical proximity to Jesus? Where was John? He was leaning on Jesus' bosom, wasn't he? Can he get any closer to Jesus? He was the only disciple that felt so loved by Jesus that he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he felt so overwhelmed in that love that he responded affectionately to the Lord. Now, remember, this is the same disciple that wrote the Gospel of John, that wrote the first, the second, and the third epistle of John. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. It's not a trick question. It might sound that way. But would you rather be known as, and we can fill in your name, as Terry, who loves God, or as Terry, whom God loves? Joe, who loves God, or would you rather be known as Joe, who is loved by God? Loved by God. Very good. Very good. Why do I say that? That same John who leaned against Jesus' bosom wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Isn't that good? So I'd rather be known as Joe, the person whom Jesus loves, rather than Joe, the person who loves Jesus. I mean, I love Jesus, but listen to what John says. This is truly love. Not that we love him, but that he first loved us. Isn't that beautiful? I want to be known like that. I want to be known as the person whom Jesus loves. Now, was John Jesus' favorite? No, Jesus doesn't have favorites, does he? Okay, let me give you some examples, some further examples in the gospel. Who was the first disciple to reach the empty tomb? John outran Peter. And Peter went all the way inside, and John stood at the mouth of the tomb. John was the one that outran Peter. Who was the one that recognized Jesus? You know, Jesus appeared to his disciples on many occasions after he was risen from the dead, right? On a couple of occasions, he appeared to them in the upper room. On one occasion, the fishermen, Peter and John, were out fishing, and Jesus was on the shore fixing his disciples' breakfast, and they didn't recognize him. Who was the first person to recognize Jesus? John. Now, Peter was the one that was naked and had to clothe himself and then jumped out of the boat and waded into to go see Jesus, but John recognized Jesus first. Okay? Now, can we take it a step further? Who was the only disciple at the foot of the cross with all the other women? The only man. Listen to me, and I've got a point about this. The only man at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Who was it? John. Where were Peter and James and Andrew? Where were they? They were locked up in an upper room, fearing for their lives that the Romans would come and take them and punish them in the same way that they did Jesus, right? But John had the love. That love that John had for Jesus drove him to the cross to see him, all right? And even best, to which disciple did Jesus entrust the care of his mother? John. What did he say? He's hanging on the cross and he says, John, behold your mother. And he said, Mary, behold your son. Now, what a privilege is that? Would you entrust the care of your mother to just anybody? How much did Jesus trust John? How much faith did Jesus have in John? A lot of faith. He said, take care of my mom. He had all the confidence in the world. Now, could we be that kind of follower that Jesus could entrust a lot on us or to us? Right? Do we want to be that kind? Where Jesus said, hey, I trust you with this. I think you will do a good job doing this. That's great, isn't it? Now, that is important. Why is all that important now that we know who the closest to Jesus was? Because, friends, any one of us can be that close to Jesus. Any one of us can be that close to Jesus. We choose how close we want to be to the Lord. Let me bring out another point that is very important at this time. How many of us know that being close to Jesus requires maturity? Right? Requires emotional maturity. Requires spiritual maturity. Let me say here, if you're spiritually mature, you're going to be emotionally mature. Let's go back to the illustration of the artist desk. I felt like, hey, yo, what's up? Who's bad now? Very special. So to me, that desk meant nothing more than status to me. That was status. because I didn't know the teacher as well as the other two students knew her. That was status. Now, that meant I felt like I was self-important. In fact, the next day, I went to the teacher. I walked into the class and I said, hey, I'm going to my desk, pointing to the one on this side of the room. She said, no, you're going back to that. Now, did you know that James pulled that same stunt with Jesus? He didn't have the guts to tell Jesus this. So James and John, brothers, John, the guy we're talking about, closest to Jesus, they didn't have the guts to ask Jesus this. So they go to their mother, and you know who their mother was? Salome, same lady that was standing at the foot of the cross. She was married to Zebedee. And so now James and John go to their mother. I could just see them little wimps. Can I have you talk to Jesus? James and John have been talking. We want to be sitting on his right hand and on his left. So would you please go tell Jesus? So here goes Salome. Jesus, my sons want to know that when you establish your kingdom, can one sit on the right hand? Can one sit on the left? These guys were power hungry, right? They're the only disciples. And listen, it got to a point that they begin to bicker with the other 10 disciples about this very thing. One of the accounts says that they were arguing amongst themselves as to who would be seated at the right hand and at the left hand of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Hey, that's not for me to decide. Now, what am I trying to say? Listen, these guys were not perfect. John was not perfect. He was power hungry. He was a short fuse. Now, here's the point. People change. And I don't like it when other believers, you know, I can understand the unbeliever trying to throw stones at a believer saying, well, I knew what you used to do when you were, you know, black and black, you know, part of this high school, or when you were part of this group, or I know your past. Well, can we all accept that we all have a past? And if we're believers and if we love Jesus, how many of you know that our past is in the bottomless ocean? Right? God casts all our sins, all our transgressions into the sea of forgetfulness, and he puts a no fishing sign there. So don't take your rod and your reel out and say, well, you know, I did do bad stuff. God says, listen, it's in the sea of forgetfulness. God says emphatically in the scripture, your sins will I remember no more. Who's happy about that? Amen. Because I is a sinner. Your sins will I remember no more. People change. And don't let unbelievers be kind to them, love them. You know what? Just say, Lord, they're lost. They don't know any better. And don't let much less other Christians tell you about your past sins. God loves me. God's forgiven me. God's forgotten about it. God's put all those sins out of his mind. Amen? So you don't need to be talking to me about my past. Listen, if you want to talk, let's talk about my future. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter to the full day, right? So I'm more concerned about my future because it's a very bright future. God gives me a hope in the future, and God gives you a hope in the future. So church family, let's be concerned about our future and forget the past. There's nothing in the past for us. God is the God of the future. All right. So that point I want to bring up is that people change. No matter what they've done. You know, one of the things that I've felt in the last year or so, the Lord really impressed on my heart, Joe, be more concerned about your character than you are your reputation. Some of you aren't quite sure. You know, I used to be more concerned about my reputation, but you know what I found out? If I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. Right? They can do all kinds of investigation. They can do all this and that. But, you know, If I'm walking in private, in my private life, walking the straight and the narrow, I've got nothing to worry about. I don't have to keep up a reputation. The reputation will take care of itself. Okay? So John's the man. He changed for the better. Wow, he changed. He's the one that told us about loving our brother and loving those in need. If you see a brother in need, you know, and you see him in need of clothes or food, and you tell him, be warm and be filled, but you do nothing about it, the love of God is not in you. He's the same guy that said, how can you love God whom you don't see and say you can't love your brother whom you do see? Now, we said one of the things that Jesus did with his disciples was he shared secrets, didn't he? Now, what was John and James' request to their mother for their mother to go talk to Jesus? They wanted one to sit at Jesus' what? And the other to sit at Jesus. And who did God give the revelation of the book of Revelation to? John. Okay, you ready for a heavy revelation? Buckle your seatbelts. So John is on the Isle of Patmos, and God says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up here. So the Lord took him up to heaven, and he saw things that no human being has seen. Well, how's that, Joe? Who saw Satan fall from heaven? Only Jesus did. Remember Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, or verse 17, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. But then John saw Satan fall. There was a great battle in the heavens. A dragon versus Michael the archangel. Look it up in Revelation 12. And the dragon lost, and he hurled a third of the stars of heaven with his tail down to earth. John's the only human being to see that. John's the only human being to see the future. Has any of us seen the tribulation? John saw it. John saw Jesus coming back down to earth in his second coming. Would you say those are some awesome secrets? Yeah. What about this? He saw the throne of God and how many elders around the throne? 24. Theologians commonly say, a lot of theologians say that there's 12 of them are the 12 tribe heads of Israel. And then the other 12 are who? The disciples. So John goes to heaven. Here he is, goes to heaven, sees all these 24 elders, sees Manasseh, Levi, Ephraim, Benjamin, and then he starts looking at the disciples. Peter, James, and... Who does he see seated on the throne? He sees himself. I could just see the John seated on the throne going. And this guy going. Is that heavy or what, church family? Wow. That is a wow moment. This guy, this cat got to see things that none of us ever will. Maybe in eternity, you know. How many of you want to go to eternity and say, Lord, I want to watch the parting of the Red Sea? Amen. I want to watch that. I want to watch the raising up of Lazarus. Right? I want to watch the whole book of Revelation unfold in 3D. Now, let me finish with that desk, the art desk. You know what? I had it all wrong. I didn't know the teacher. I was like John. I wanted the status. I wanted the reputation that came with sitting on that desk. But I didn't know the teacher like the guy that sat there did. See, friends, let's put perspective. Get close to Jesus and let him determine how much he wants to bless you and share secrets with you, listen, that are only between you and him. John had them. Because John said, I saw things in heaven that the Lord did not permit me to share with anybody. How cool would that be if you and Jesus had secrets that Another guy who had them was Paul the Apostle. He said, man, I saw things that were inexpressible. That means that there weren't any words to put to them, or that means he was not permitted to share. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, help us to be closer, to draw closer, to know you better. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love, your trustworthiness to us. And I pray, Lord, that if any be here, God, that knows in their heart that they need to draw closer to Jesus, that they would, Lord, by your Spirit, draw them. God bless you.